I'm Jeff Newkirk, the host of Game Changers. I talk to people who have done something to make this world a better place. People who are working to make a significant and profound change. So it's simple. Inspire and educate and let's go change this world. Welcome to the show. Hey, welcome back to the podcast, Game Changers. I'm excited today to have Elaine Roberts with me, attorney here in Montgomery County, Texas, and she is an executive director of the Dispute Resolution Center. I've known Elaine for a couple years now, just a fantastic person, and I know that we're going to learn a lot today. So Elaine, welcome to the podcast. Great to have you here.
Well, thanks, Jeff. I've been a longtime fan of your business acumen and your podcast. So
wow. You're a great guest already. Well, thank you. Thank you. And it's great to have you. So, Elaine, you have served as the executive director of the Dispute Resolution Center of Montgomery County since April of 2014. And correct. We'll talk a little bit about what that means because a lot of the listeners don't understand or may not be aware of a Dispute Resolution Center. You're a graduate of the University of Houston Law Center, and you have extensive experience as a civil rights attorney and mediator, both in private law firms and in the nonprofit sector. Mm-hmm. Prior to joining the DRC, the Dispute Resolution Center in Montgomery County, you served as director of the Houston Mayor's Office for People with Disabilities, legal director of a statewide disability rights organization, and was a volunteer mediator, trainer, board member for the Dispute Resolution Center of Harris County. And for our listener, that is Houston. So Montgomery County just being north of Houston and Harris County. You're a proud graduate of the Leadership Montgomery County class of 2016.
Good best for class you. Ever.
Well, up until 2022, so.
Well, I have a soft spot for the class of 2022, so I won't argue as hard as I typically would. And
so for our listeners, for their sake, we're kind of going back and forth on the Leadership Montgomery County program, but that's how we got connected. I was in the class of 2022, and it's a fantastic program
that really helps leaders
in the area learn how a county functions and what it takes to really develop and lead government and different sectors of the county. So fantastic program. I'm glad you went through it. I'm glad we had a chance to meet. Let's see. You're honored to have been selected by State Bar of Texas Alternative Dispute Resolution Section for the 2020 Justice Frank Evans Award. That is very prestigious. Tell us a little bit about that.
I was shocked to receive the award because Frank Evans had been one of my idols in law school. He was basically the founder of ADR, Alternative Dispute Resolution Practices, including mediation in Texas. So I don't consider myself anywhere near his ability or his stature, but each year the State Bar recognizes an individual who has contributed to the field of alternative dispute resolution and has encouraged it in the state of Texas. And I was honored to be a recipient of that award.
Oh my goodness. You bring so much professionalism, experience to the DRC. You're one of those people where you just feel like after we talk, after you get to know you a little bit, you feel like, wow, I'm a better person because I know Elaine Roberts.
Oh, thank you. I'm blushing.
That's true. I mean, you're one of those people that we need to know. So tell us, Elaine, what motivated you to go to law school and pursue a career as an attorney?
It was sort of a progression. As a child, I can remember always telling my parents, I really want to make a difference in the world. I want what I do to make an impact on people.
You
and
knew
then
that
as I
a child.
Got into high school, I got involved in debate, public speaking competitions in the Louisiana Girl State. So that really kind of taught me that you have to really speak out for things that you believe in, but it also taught me that you need to speak up for other people who perhaps don't have the ability or the time or the knowledge to speak for themselves.
And you knew that at a young age. That's fantastic.
Yeah. And then when I got in college, I had a history major and sociology minor, which I love both subjects. And law combines both of those. So it just seemed like a natural progression. Law combined the things that interested me as well as the talents I seemed to display. So it was a natural progression to go into that. I tell people, too, that as a good student all my life, someone who likes to learn and continue to grow, I couldn't think of another occupation which would pay me to study and learn new topics and just develop throughout my life. And law seemed to fit the bill. So that's why I decided on law school.
Awesome. And then how did you decide what part of law to pursue?
You're involved in the nonprofit sector.
So, I mean, it's a sort of a different career path.
It is. And I've had a chance to experience both the law firm, the public service, and the nonprofit world. And in law school, I was lucky to have as a teacher Laura Rothstein, who is considered the preeminent expert in the field of disability law. And although I had entered law school thinking that I was going to go into admiralty and maritime law because I'd been a paralegal in an admiralty and maritime law firm for 2 years, once I got into disability law, I just loved the topic. It seemed like a place where I could really make a difference. It was in an area where it was a new legislation was being passed at the time. I felt like I could really make a mark and help to establish that law. And I did practice that law, special education, disability rights, employment discrimination, primarily in the federal court, and I enjoyed it. But at the same time, I had also been trained as a mediator by Judge Evans, actually. He was one of my teachers. I always enjoyed that. I felt like a sense of accomplishment whenever I did a mediation. But then I sort of had a game changer moment, if you will, when I accepted this one case. It was an amazing case, an amazing opportunity to establish law in the area of disability rights issues and how that related to the cruise industry. Were they subject to American laws, even though they sailed from foreign flagged ships that were housed here in the United States?
And so that's interesting. This was somebody that was on a cruise.
Exactly. Okay. And what we found at the time is that people boarding in Houston, if they had a disability and required an accessible room, were sometimes being forced to pay 2 to 4 times more for their cruises than their non-disabled relatives or traveling companions. In addition, they were being told on the vessels that if there is a case of emergency, you have to have your own attendant because we cannot rescue you. And they could not travel in many of the ports or access many of the portions of the vessels. So they basically were getting very expensive boat rides that they couldn't enjoy.
So and nothing was ADA accessible. They did not have to comply.
Well, the small portions of the boat that were accessible at the time of these vessels, they had to pay 2 to 4 times what their traveling counterparts had to pay in order to get those accommodations. So it was really a worthy cause. I've had a plaintiff with a severe disability who utilized a wheelchair for access, who had come to me saying, this just isn't right. I just want a relaxing vacation and I want to be treated fairly. So I had taken his case, and the case was indeed a monumental case. It ended up taking 10 years to go through.
Oh my gosh.
It did establish good law. But the problem was, by the time the case was over, the client that I had taken the case for was deceased.
Oh, boy.
So at that point, it just really seemed to me there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a cheaper, less stressful, quicker way to get people what they need. And that's when I started really focusing in on my mediation practice, because it allowed me to offer people an alternative to having to litigate a matter in order to get a change. Because people may not realize it, but sometimes what a judge cannot order in court because the law isn't there yet, if the parties agree to it voluntarily in a mediation, as long as it's not illegal, can be an enforceable agreement. So I was convinced
by law
that many of the things that I was trying to accomplish through litigation could also be accomplished by mediation. And at the time that I had moved up to Montgomery County, we had just come back from 2 years in Australia. So rather than reestablishing a litigation practice, the opening came up at the Dispute Resolution Center in Montgomery County. It seemed like a good fit for my talents, and the rest is history. Boy. I'm a recovering lawyer who is very happy in the mediation practice.
Well, I would say that, yes, that situation, that lawsuit was a game-changing event for you.
But it really was.
In addition to that, you yourself are a game-changer. I mean, what you've done in your career and what you've done in Montgomery County has really made a huge impact on the community. So describe for all of us exactly what is the Dispute Resolution Center? What's the purpose? Who do you serve? And how do people learn more about it?
I'd be glad to. The Dispute Resolution Center is actually a 501c3 nonprofit that was set up in 1988 by the Commissioner's Court, the Montgomery County Commissioner's Court, and the Montgomery County Bar Association. And this was done in conjunction with some legislation that had passed in Texas, which said that people in Texas should have the opportunity to resolve their own disputes and the resources to do that. Or if they were involved in litigation, rather than spending years in court, they should have the opportunity to try and resolve those legal disputes in an alternative way. So it gave counties the authority to establish a alternative dispute resolution center in the area to serve its citizens. Now, there are 17 such organizations across the state. Some are run by the counties in which they're located. Some are run by several counties in a joint type of agreement. And a number of them are 501c3s, just as we are.
That's not many. 17 in the state of Texas?
Right.
I mean, this is a big state.
It is. It's very big. And at the time that we were established back in 1988, Montgomery County was the smallest county to actually establish a dispute resolution center. The Dallases, the Harris counties, the big counties had established them, but none of the smaller counties have. So you could say that Montgomery County Commissioner's Court and the Montgomery County Bar Association were well ahead of their time.
Yeah.
So,
well, back in 1988, the population was probably, I'm going to guess, 100, 150,000, 200,000 maybe?
Yeah, I wasn't here at that time, so I can't tell you, but I would say that it was much smaller than
it is
now.
Yeah.
I know that when the DRC first started, it was at a table on the third floor of the courthouse.
Oh. So, well, that speaks for itself.
Because
you have a very nice, decent size office, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. We have a lovely office. We're located right across from the main courthouse. We're in the Keyshan building.
Downtown Conroe.
Just immediately on North Thompson Street at 301 North Thompson Street. And we have multiple settings where we can do mediations 5 days a week. And in fact, that kind of gets to our mission. Our mission as a nonprofit is to provide and promote affordable, high-quality conflict resolution services and training in the Montgomery County area. So our first goal, of course, is the mediation, and we do offer those both in person and online via Zoom so that people from the comfort of and safety of their homes can mediate their disputes. We do that Monday through Friday. We ask people to set aside at least 4 hours. So we do have mediations starting at 8:30 in the morning, going till approximately 12:30, and then afternoon sessions going from 1 to 5. And we have lovely facilities, like we've discussed, across the street from the courthouse. Free parking is available. And we have the capacity that we can run up to 5 mediations in the morning, 5 mediations in the afternoon. And that's not an uncommon practice for us. We are volunteer driven. So citizens from Montgomery County who want to make their area that they live in more peaceful and offer their neighbors and friends an opportunity to resolve their own disputes, they volunteer their time. Approximately $500,000 is donated to the county each year by our wonderful volunteers who come in and provide the mediations. And I should point
out, that's a lot of volunteer hours.
Exactly.
$500,000. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is a cost.
Thank goodness for those volunteers.
Yeah. Thank goodness. I need to point out that they are actively trained. They comply with all requirements. We have a mentorship program that they go through. They're constantly providing ongoing education. So that's our goal in making it that high quality services that we talk about providing. And then the second prong of our mission is to provide training. Our understanding is that no one's ever too old or too young to learn conflict resolution skills. So we do offer training so that people can become mediators. We offer general mediation, child protective services, family mediation training that would qualify a person who wants to learn to become a mediator. But we also custom design programs for businesses, for governmental agencies to meet the needs that they have. So, for instance, a couple of years ago, we worked with the Conroe ISD Police Department to help learn mediation techniques to de-escalate.
Within the school district. So Conroe ISD is the local independent school district.
Exactly.
And they have their own police department within the district. So just to kind of give everybody a perspective, Conroe ISD Independent School District is huge. There's, I think, 70 or 80,000 students. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it is a very large school district. That's one of the largest in the state, I believe.
It is, yeah.
And there's 7,000 teachers.
I'm not sure exactly.
Or employees. But it's, so anyway, just to set perspective, it is a significant employer and entity within Montgomery County.
Exactly. And we work with nonprofits. We work with small business entities to kind of meet their needs. But one of our most exciting aspects that we're doing is all the work we're doing with youth. We have developed peer mediation training programs where we train high school students in the area to be able to mediate disputes on their own campuses. That way, disputes
don't accelerate. Right. I mean, that should almost be required curriculum in high school.
I agree.
Especially in today's world.
Actually, some of the medical schools and law schools and colleges are now actually requiring mediation. So the students that get it in high school and junior high just have an amazing advantage. And we do currently have programs in 3 of the Conroe ISD schools now for peer mediation training. We do train the trainer, where we train teachers on how to select the appropriate students for these programs, how to train them so that they can mentor their own peers and help resolve things. And we get really good feedback on that. We have peace camps now, which offers...
Well, that sounds important. Peace camps.
Peace camps, yes. It opened to kids in the 5th grade through 12th grade. We have them separated out, of course, into different dates and times based on their age group. But what they do is they come to us and they learn conflict resolution skills, but in a fun way, doing fun activities, as you might expect at a camp during the summer. It's a 2-day program, and we have excellent feedback on that. We provide support to the juvenile justice system because they refer kids to us who maybe have been in some kind of trouble at school because they don't have the conflict resolution skills that are necessary to resolve things peacefully, and things get a little out of hand. So they refer the students as well as their parent to us, and we do a 4-part session where we teach them communication skills, anger management, simple things like how to apologize.
Wow. You know, take for granted. And the parents might not even know how to correctly and appropriately apologize because the kids are a product of their environment.
We have received excellent feedback from the juvenile justice system that it's helped to reduce recidivism. So the kids aren't recommitting any kind of infraction that they might have before. From the parents who say, wow, they didn't know these things to teach their kids. And from the students themselves. And we're going to be expanding that program next year, working with Judge Wayne Mack and Judge Valdez for some diversion type programs, a shorter term program, which will still work with students who are maybe involved in truancy or other minor infractions and their parents.
So how did you get the judges involved?
Because that's
a huge step forward, right? I mean, that's a big deal.
Yeah, it is. And most of the judges are familiar with our work because we do so much mediation. For instance, we go to Judge Mack's court both in Montgomery County and in Willis. I mean, in Montgomery, Texas, and in Willis. And we provide on-site mediations. So if somebody comes in for a docket call, which would typically set a trial for their case, they're offered the opportunity of doing a free mediation. At that point, we go into the jury rooms with them and we work with them to see if the conflict can be resolved. If it can, we write up an agreement that's a legally enforceable document. So they were familiar already with our work. But then we reached out to them when we were having such success with the juvenile offender program that was referring cases to us. And the JP courts and the juvenile courts are under mandate to have alternative programs available for their students by 2025. So it just seemed to fit as a good fit and a supplement to those programs. And then, Beautiful. Of course, we have our bookmark art contest.
That kind of leads me to my next question, and that is, what would you consider one or two of your greatest successes while you've been at the DRC, and which will be 10 years as of next year?
Yeah, exactly. One of the greatest successes that I think that we had was our ability to pivot during the pandemic. We had a 30-year model in place. Yeah. Of doing on-site in-person mediations. And that really wasn't possible with the shutdowns of the courts and other agencies and buildings.
But you didn't stop.
We had a 3-day window of opportunity to bring our mediators in and to teach them how to do Zoom mediations. So we changed our 30-year business model in a matter of 3 days. And I really have to compliment our volunteers for being so agreeable and so flexible. But because of their flexibility and their willingness to work with us and learn this new technique, we were able to stay open the entire pandemic. We never closed down. We continued to provide mediations and offer sometimes the only way a party could resolve a dispute during the pandemic, if their court was closed or if it was backed up due to the earlier court closures. So we're very proud of that.
Not closing at all, staying open during the pandemic in 3 days, changing your entire business model. Yeah, that's a huge success, Elaine. Huge success.
Yeah, and not many of the DRCs were able to do that. So we feel really proud that our folks just kind of rallied around us and were agreeable to moving with us to this new frontier.
Yeah, and it helps to have a very strong and effective leader in place, right?
Well, which is you. Blushing again.
So what are some other successes?
Well, I would say that the Bookmark Art Contest has been a real success.
I would think so. Let's talk about that a little bit. What exactly is the Bookmark Art Contest and what has made it such a success? Because when you think about it, I mean, just somebody learning about it, just, you know, in passing, wouldn't really understand what does the Bookmark Art Contest have to do with dispute resolution.
Exactly. And many members of our board thought that as well when I broached the idea. So it took quite a bit of convincing. But I had heard about a contest in Maryland that was sponsored by the Maryland Supreme Court. And they asked kids in Maryland to come up with ideas of ways to resolve conflict peacefully or to keep disputes from accelerating. So I had contacted the court and asked them if we could utilize some of their ideas if we decided to establish a similar contest in Montgomery County. And at the time, they told me, yes, you can do it, but don't get discouraged, because they had been running a statewide competition for several years, and this was their Supreme Court, so it's highly regarded and prestigious. Right. And they said, we only get about 25 entries each year. Now, this is back in 2014. Yeah, this was back in 2014. So just don't be discouraged. Give it a little while. So I approached the board. As you may know, bullying is a significant health problem and crisis for teens and youth. One in five kids is bullied. They go on to bully other kids if it's not addressed. Sometimes they say 30% of the kids who were bullied then go on to bully other kids themselves because that's what they've seen. And they can carry long-term health consequences
for kids. It's a huge, huge problem. Yeah, and social media just adds to it.
And we knew that that was a problem in Montgomery County. So how do you address it? What is a way that you can take difficult concepts, make it fun for the kids, and still produce a lasting effect? And the Bookmark Art Contest fit that requirement. So the very first year that we did it in 2014, when I came, we expected 25 and we got 640 entries.
So we, So did you go back to the folks in Maryland and say, well, thanks for your words of wisdom and sage counsel, but we have 600, over 600 entries.
I didn't want to press my luck with Supreme Court justices, so I passed on that. But we were really pleased, and we knew that we were on to a concept that the kids and the schools could get behind. So basically, we opened the contest for kids in Montgomery County. They can either live in Montgomery County or attend school in Montgomery County in grades K through 8. It's open to public, private school, and homeschool kids. And we ask them simply, we give them the task of coming up with an idea of a way to resolve conflicts peacefully or to prevent bullying. And I don't know if you can see this, but this is an example of some of the Bookmark art. It's a small surface So it really requires the child to think it through and to come up with a plan and a concept. Like this one is helping others as needed. This one is just a simple people of different denominations and faiths and colors. And in the background, it says human to show that we're all human.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So the kids come up with these amazing ideas that are just shock us each year. But the contest has grown each year. And we give cash prizes both to the students and prizes to the schools in the form of bullying prevention books that are donated to each of the winning schools. And the contest has continued to grow each year. Last year alone, we had over 2,000 entries.
2,000 entries.
Yes.
So just less than 10 years ago, you had 600 and some.
Yeah. And
now it's over 2,000.
A little pause during the pandemic for a year. But luckily, the LMC class of 2022 came in after the pandemic and helped us get it reestablished. And after that 1 year pause, and it's up and going. We have all of the major school districts participating. We have approximately 40 volunteer judges who come to us. They're in both from the art world, they're community leaders like from the Kiwanis Club or the Rotary Club, members of the local bar, our mediators. We get a variety of judges so that we get a variety of people looking at it. The kids love it. The schools tell us that it's an exciting way. They have 6 weeks. They correspond their teaching, their required teaching on bullying prevention into a fun activity that the kids invoke a lot of discussion and have fun doing while they're talking about these difficult subjects. Counselors at the schools have told us that they, through the art that's been submitted, they've been able to assist kids who had not stepped forward, who needed assistance with bullying, but they could tell through the art and they were able to approach them.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. So through the art, they were able to convey, somehow communicate their need for help because they were being bullied.
Exactly.
That is huge.
The counselors were able to utilize it. And I know Tri-County took one of the bookmark art entries and uses it in their suicide prevention program that's used countywide. And
when you started this, Elaine, back in 2014, did you have any idea where this thing was going to go?
Not to this extent. It's just grown each year. It's a lot of fun. The reception that we do for the kids, we have about 275 people total each year who show up for the award ceremony.
Yeah, and it's Judge pretty cool. Kathleen, having gone to one, it's a cool ceremony.
It is.
Kids get excited. So do the teachers and the parents.
Judge Kathleen Hamilton, who is our MC, is just a hoot. In fact, 1 year, one of the children, a little six-year-old, a kindergarten student, was so frightened to come up and get his prize that he crawled under the table. And not to be deterred, Judge Kathleen Hamilton pulled up her judge's robes and crawled under the table with him. And gave
that's
him
fantastic.
Award.
That yeah. is fantastic. Oh,
so
man.
We have a lot of fun with it. We're getting ready to start our 2024 contest. It will start on February 1st and it will run till March 11th. And again, it's open to kids in grades K through 8 in Montgomery County. And they can find out more about it on our website, which is resolution-center.org, or they can call our agency, and we will be putting out a lot of information on our social media too about the rules of the contest, the deadlines to remind people.
Can other DRCs, maybe throughout the state or throughout the country learn about this program so they can implement something similar. Have you presented this idea to other groups throughout the country? Because the success that you've experienced is incredible. And the impact that you've made on the kids, on parents, mm-hmm. I mean, it's very significant.
It is significant. And we have done our best to get word out about the contest. We're always available and willing to assist any entity or organization or individual who wants to start something similar. It's no use having to reinvent the wheel. We'll be glad to share our templates and everything with them.
Well, plus you've been so successful.
Actually, some of the publishers of the mediation books and programs are actually sending our bookmarks out nationwide. When a person purchases an alternative dispute resolution book from one of the major publishers, they receive our bookmark in it.
Very cool.
That is a way that we do it. The way we spread the word in Montgomery County is we actually take some of the winners that have been selected by the judges and put them into a published format, which is distributed around the county. And I should say that as of this year, before the 2024 contest starts, we've had 11,000 kids go through our program.
Wow.
And we have given out 64,000 bookmarks across
Montgomery
County.
Those are big numbers.
They really are. And I can't think of a way that we could have reached that many people other than the bookmark art contest.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, that's 11,000 kids is, mm-hmm. I mean, that's a big, making again, a huge impact mm-hmm. on the kids in the county, the parents, and you have mm-hmm. a lot to be proud of. What are the plans for 2024 at the DRC in addition to the bookmark club or the contest?
Well, we'll be expanding our juvenile justice programs, both with the juvenile justice referrals. We already have 4 sessions lined up with them. There'll be 4 4-week sessions where we meet with the parents and the students. We have plans to expand into Judge Mack and Judge Valdez's court programs as a diversion anger management tool. We are doing training, lots of training. In June, we have our general mediation training, which is a 40-hour live interactive course. And one of the things that's really amazing about our programs and had impressed me when I first came is that our volunteers act as mentors during the training. So not only do you have the professors and the mediators teaching the training and passing on their techniques, but we do 10 mediations during the course of that training where our volunteers come in and provide feedback to students who are in the training. And then if the students decide that they want to volunteer with us, they're assigned a mentor, an experienced mediator who then works with them to continue their progress as a mediator. We've recently been approached by governmental entities to do some in-person training for large numbers of their employees. So we've got a busy schedule already coming up.
You're always on the go. You've always got mm-hmm. something happening. And the work that you've done at the DRC has been incredible. And the bookmark art contest, again, kicks off February 1st.
It does. And it goes till March 11th at 5 o'clock is the deadline. Uh-huh. And we've been lucky to form a cooperative agreement with all of the local libraries so that people that are in the outer ranges of the county, instead of having to travel to our office to bring the bookmarks, can now deposit them at any of the branch libraries in Montgomery County. And through our cooperative agreement, we get those entries in a timely manner so they can enter that way.
Excellent.
And Yeah. And then on April 18th is when we will have our award ceremony. It will be at the jury selection room.
Okay. Very good. So, Elaine, in your, as you reflect back in your career and all the accomplishments that you've had, which have been numerous, who have been the game changers in your life? Because you yourself are truly a game changer, really.
No, thank you.
Along the way, we all have had people that have influenced us in a positive way and really have made that lasting impact. Who have those people been for you?
I think, of course, my family. My parents were very strong advocates for equal justice, for doing the right thing by your fellow man. I attended parochial school, which had a very strong emphasis on loving your neighbor, looking out for each other. When I was in law school, I had the good fortune of interning with Judge James DeAnda, who was the chief judge of the Southern District of Texas. And he really was instrumental in teaching me that no matter how busy you are with legal things, no matter what your position is, that everybody deserves respect and deserves to be heard.
That's an important message.
He was a strong proponent of that. When I was working with the disability rights organizations, one person, sort of representative of a lot of the people I met, is Sean Pesner. And Sean is an attorney up in the Dallas area. He is severely disabled, has been since birth, requires quite a bit of accommodation, not to do what he does, but in order to just be able to get to the work site and everything. And his courage and his persistence just really made a mark on my heart, because he was not expected to be able to accomplish much in his life. His parents were advised to institutionalize him.
Oh, my goodness.
And he has master's degrees in Greek studies. He obtained his law degree, got a standing ovation when he went across the stage to get his law license, and has just accomplished amazing things in
his
life.
That's an inspiration. And again, his name, Elaine?
Sean Pesner. P-E-B-S-N-E-R. But he's indicative of so many of the people in the disability community that I met and had the privilege of working with, who just want an equal opportunity to show what they can accomplish.
Yeah.
And then, of course, working at the DRC, the people who have inspired me have been the volunteers. They are amazing. I mean, they're such accomplished people. Many of them are accomplished lawyers, mediators, psychologists, doctors. They give of their time freely. They come out around holidays. They come out in hurricanes, come out in COVID, just to make certain that their communities are safer, more peaceful, and conflicts don't escalate. And then, of course, the people who come to the center really do inspire me, because I see people every day. For instance, couples who are divorcing, it's often not been pretty what's gone on in their marriage.
I'm sure,
And they've hurt each other. But some of these individuals and parents are just so brave, and they've decided that the child needs to be the focus of the divorce. Doesn't need to be caught up in name calling, needs to have a way that they can be with both parents, and they need to have a way that they can co-parent. And these people are brave enough to try this concept of mediation that they probably never heard of before they went through the divorce.
That's true.
So they come in, they open up to our volunteers. They work on parenting plans together and establish a way that they can go forward in a fast, confidential, and economical way. And then, of course, we have our mediations that we do. We do all of the mediations for children in CPS custody, child protective custody.
Yep.
So they're abused, neglected. Often the parent doesn't have parenting skills necessary at that time to be able to take care of their child. And, you know, I see constantly the ad litem attorneys, the CASA volunteers, the county attorneys, they all come together at our center to mediate. And instead of the child having to stay years and years in perhaps a broken foster care system, they're able to do permanency planning. So those are the game changers for me.
Well, that's a big game changer because our kids depend on that. I mean, when you see a kid, you know all the stats with foster care. We need to do whatever we can to help those kids.
You know, exactly.
They're in a bad environment. The odds are against them. We need to do whatever we can to help them.
Through no fault of their own.
Exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm. Just where they ended up. So it's on us to do what we can to help them. And you learned at an early age that it is important for us to help those that are disadvantaged or underprivileged in some way. So good for you for living that out and being a big impact, positive impact on others around you. And I said at the beginning of our conversation, you're one of those people that you just want to be around because you're going to be a better person for knowing Elaine Roberts. So truly believe that. You've done great work. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. I want to wrap up, though, with a couple of fun questions, if you don't mind.
Okay.
So the first one is, if you, as an attorney, if you have two federal laws, federal now, not state, federal, that you could, anything that you think we need to have a law for on a federal basis, two, what would those two laws be?
You know, I thought about that quite a bit, and I'm not sure, even as an attorney, that we need any more laws, but I have thought of two things that I wish people would implement. And one of those, the first of those is putting a mediation agreement in every kind of agreement for sales of goods, services, products, any type of thing. The late Sandra Day O'Connor was a strong proponent of the philosophy that courts should be the last resort, that they ought to be utilized only when other forms of resolving disputes have been attempted but haven't been successful. And I believe that as well. And arbitration clauses, I mean, we see them all the time in agreements, but arbitration is a lot like litigation. They have judges who decide for you, who it can often be costly. It can even be more costly than litigation. Mediation, on the other hand, is fast. It can be done within a week of when you try to, when you bring your dispute to our attention. It's economical. No one at our center has ever turned away for inability to pay. We do accept affidavits of inability to pay. And it's confidential, so that what you say in the mediation can't be used against you later. But most importantly, it gives people the say-so in their situation. I mean, who knows?
Which is important. That's what they want, right?
Exactly. Who knows the kids better than the parent? Who knows what's best for them? Is it a stranger in a courtroom who's making a decision for a child they've never had the privilege of meeting? Or is it the parents? So giving people the opportunity to go through mediation, and most people, just as a general rule, unless they've come through litigation before, don't even know what mediation is.
Exactly. So, yeah. I mean,
wouldn't think
we talked about that early on in our conversation. They don't, the general public, just in passing, does not know, does not understand mediation, and doesn't know that there are these services available to them.
Exactly. So if you followed my directive, directive in quotes, and put this kind of clause in every agreement, just like they put the arbitration clauses, then you would have people resolving their disputes peacefully. The other
I like that
thing that
I like. Elaine Roberts directive. Okay, number two.
Number two is I would personally like to see everybody take the Sam Houston State University Conflict Resolution Pledge that was developed by Dr. Gene Roberts and his Office of Student Legal Affairs and Mediation, of Student Legal and Mediation Services. Mm-hmm. And if I could take just a moment to read some of these, I think you'll understand. One of the first tenets of it, there's nine tenets in this pledge. The first is I will assume good intentions, taking the time to put myself in the other person's shoes. I will listen to others with an ear toward understanding. I will attack problems, not people. So I won't read out all nine to you, but my thought was this, that if everybody took this pledge, not just waiting for October, which is conflict resolution month, I think we can see that we might not need additional laws.
All right. Good point.
There's plenty of laws on the books, but if you give people the opportunity and the skills, which I think taking things like the conflict resolution pledge do help to sharpen those skills.
That's from Dr. Gene Roberts.
Exactly. At the same
another Houston. Person that we all should get to know.
Yeah, exactly.
So the second fun question, I like those the directives. Mm-hmm. The second fun question is if you could travel through time, Elaine, mm-hmm. and go back and meet people in history or a time period that is mm-hmm. sort of meaningful to you, where would you go? Where in history would you mm-hmm. travel? And why?
Well, from a personal standpoint, I would personally love to go back and meet my parents on their wedding day.
That's cool. Yeah.
And just be able to ask them questions that I never got the opportunity to ask. Learn from them what they expected, what the world was like. But from a historical perspective, I think I would like to go back to the 1990s, at the time that Nelson Mandela was being released from prison, mm-hmm. because I would like to meet him and learn how someone who had just been released from 27 years of very torturous prison could then interact with people who had imprisoned him. Not only interact, but thrive with them. I mean, he went on to win the Nobel Peace Prize, being allowed to vote for the first time at the age of 76, and then he becomes the first Democratic president. What is it in his makeup that allowed him to be forgiving and to see past what had been done to him? For what had been done to the nation.
That really puts it in perspective, doesn't it? I mean,
it does.
Nelson Mandela has got to be the epitome of what forgiveness should be like.
I can't even imagine that level
of
emotional development. And then if I did have a chance to get that, I'd love to share that with today's politicians.
Oh, boy. I love that. Hopefully they would listen.
Well, that's true. Maybe the Mandela name would impress them.
Hopefully. Yes. Gosh, well, I love that. I love that idea. And I think going back to the 90s and talking to Nelson Mandela, seeing that we were present in the 90s, we knew what was going on, but we didn't know everything because we only knew what the media was going to tell us. So
exactly.
I love that, Elaine. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. This has been great. We've learned a lot about dispute resolution and mediation. If there was just one or two nuggets that you want our listeners to walk away with, what would those be? Because we've shared a lot of information. You've shared a lot of information in this conversation. So a couple nuggets, one or two.
Well, one thing is that you don't have to repeat the patterns of conflict resolution that aren't serving you well.
Perfect.
It's possible at any age to learn to do things differently and more peacefully. And those skills can be taught and passed on to the other generation. I'd like people to understand how much the kids coming up are thirsting for conflict resolution, peaceful conflict resolution. Yeah. We're seeing that in the peer mediation programs, the justice mediation programs, in each and every message on these bookmarks that we distribute, that they are really thirsting for us as adults to act better, to act more peacefully and in a more united way.
There are such strong emotions coming out in that art. It's hard to put it into words. Having seen many of those 2022 year, those bookmarks, you can just see the time that they put in and kind of get a feeling for what's going through their mind. I mean, yeah, it's, I'm sure they are thirsting for really good way to resolve issues and problems that they're experiencing. And who knows what they are in today's world.
Exactly. I guess the third and final thing I'd like to really stress is that the Dispute Resolution Center is always seeking volunteers. I mean, we're volunteer driven. If you have communication skills, people skills, and want to become a mediator, that's great. But we're not limited to that. We accept volunteers who work with our teen programs, who work with our bookmark art programs. Just give us a call and we've got a spot for you.
Good segue to the last question. How can people get in touch with the DRC of Montgomery County and learn more?
They can either email us at mediate@mctx.org, or they can call our office Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And that number is 936-760-6914. And the extension 2 is our intake coordinator who can get them to the right person within our agency.
Perfect. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Elaine. This has been wonderful. Mm-hmm. And thank you for all the work that you're doing. And I know that there's still a lot of work to be done and you're still going to make a huge impact on the community. And just keep at it because we need everything that you're doing and we need more people like you.
Well, thank you, Jeff.
And thanks for coming on the podcast. Mm-hmm. And to all my listeners, thank you for tuning in, Game Changers. I know today was a good day, and I know tomorrow is going to be even better. Peace, everyone.
Bye.
Find out more about the show at GameChangersWithJeff.com. And make sure you're following Game Changers on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. We are everywhere. Never miss an episode. We appreciate you listening. Grateful for your following.